Hello, and you're very welcome to the Town End podcast. Well, we were subdued at the showgrounds. Welcome to episode 36 of this long, long season. I wish we could cut this one short. Joining me tonight is Pingu, who we can't see, but that's okay. Gally and Donal. Gentlemen, another night of punishment. I think you're every right to have another drink, Donal.
Yeah.
As I say, we started this season in such optimism. Donal, you weren't drinking. Pingu, we could see you. Steph was on the podcast. So we really fallen. Gents, another defeat. Didn't show a whole lot tonight either. I suppose, I don't know. Pingu, we'll come to you first because I know you're under time constraints for tonight. So,
yeah, I mean, where do you even start? I mean, look, I think Vinny's probably going to be right in what I anticipate that he's going to say after the game. We start bright. I mean, the first 20 minutes, I think it was fair to say Dundalk were probably on the front foot until we scored the goal. And then it was like one of those war movies, you know, where you're shooting at someone and then they start shooting back. So you're just like, retreat, retreat. And as the minute we scored, it was like everybody just went back into themselves. It was like this kind of shock to the system. We're ahead. And yeah, it just all went downhill once they equalised, didn't it? It was just, It's horrible. It's just awful to be a Dundalk fan at the minute. It's like you can't put a positive spin on anything. You know, even saying we played well for 20 minutes, what do we do for the other 70? Fuck all, It's just, it's awful. It's awful.
Yeah, it's definitely tough work. I mean, well, first and foremost, before we go anywhere, Donal, what are we drinking tonight?
We've got a Jameson Black Barrel tonight.
Ooh, right, the big guns are out.
Yeah, but I have to work tomorrow, so we'll see how we go.
Just a half a bottle.
Yeah.
An hour long podcast isn't ideal then. I mean, Donal, what was your take on tonight?
Pretty much what Pingu's after saying. Started well, like they did in Longford, like they did in Waterford. And then, you know, they concede the goal, but, you know, when they concede the goal and it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you have to take a stand, you know. It doesn't help to hide.
Love it, Donal.
That was for the purists. So they don't respond to going to conceding the goal. And I don't know whether if it's fitness, I don't know whether it's fight or passion or whatever, but by the end of the game, there's just nothing left. And it's the same now the last few games that they've done okay in the beginning. And then they give away just the most outrageously bad goals, which I think is the biggest takeaway for me tonight. Like, they could have played okay and still played well and still could have lost that game because of just ludicrous goals they gave away. So,
yeah. I mean, Gally, I said subdued, and I think that's exactly what we were tonight. Like, we played within the strengths of Sligo. They were happy to keep us at arm's length tonight, weren't they?
Yeah, and they've done the same. Are we back? Was it opening match of the season over in Sligo? We've done the exact same.
Yeah.
Started really well. Like, the first probably 20, 25 minutes. Like, we've come here so many podcasts and we're like, oh, we started really well and then it died. And we've literally done it again. Like, for the first, it was kind of end-to-end in the first half. I thought after the first maybe 20, 25 minutes, I thought, right, we're having a right go here. This is going to be could be a very good night. We go 1-0 up. Like, some of the passing was excellent. I think some people talk a bit of a hammer into Dunbar in the second half. I actually thought Dunbar and Duffy in the first half were excellent. Some of the passing between the two, it was like, I hate to say it, but it was almost Gannon-esque and Massey back in the day. It was really clinical. But then the problem was, after 25 minutes, they're just gassed. The build-up to the goal was top class. Like, if anybody's listened to, I wasn't listening to Flanner, we do apologise. I was a Joe and Doe fan tonight. It was a Joe show tonight. But the commentary from himself, the goal we took really clinical. The passing was excellent. Look, it's a bit sloppy in the box. But then we're back to this crack of we can't hold up piss. It's cliche, but it's schoolboy stuff, schoolgirl stuff. You're 1-0 up, you're flying. It's 1-1, and that end the game's over. once it went 1-1, I'd say there's not many people thought, right, we're going to get back into this.
Yeah.
It's like, I was saying to Mark Rossell before the game finished, it's like the pressure of a result really plays in these lads' minds. When there's a chance that they might actually get a result out of something, everything seems to go to pot. Now, I don't know if that's a mental thing, if it's a manager or the dugout thing, if it's a confidence, but there's something. We can talk about the players all we like. Now, even if you look at the bench tonight, the bench is stretched, to say to put it mildly. But when you go 1-0 up over there, and look, Sligo, those parts where those end to end, but Sligo were okay. I mean, look at, but like, yeah, I said at the start, they set up well. We played into their hands. Like, we're a team now that can afford to, teams can afford to give us a head start in games because they know we can't, we don't have a second half in us. It's either first or second, there's nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's just, when teams are beating you, when they're not on top form, you've got a real problem, a real problem. And that's what's happening week in, week out. Tonight's just another example of, it's like the heads are dropping when we're 1-0 up instead of 1-0 down. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing we're probably not too surprised with tonight, Pingu, is, you know, we've gone and conceded two more goals. I mean, that's 38 goals conceded already this year in 26 games. So that's an average of 1.46 goals conceded. And we've only scored 29 goals. So, you know, it doesn't take a mathematician to work out why we're in this predicament. We're leaking goals, you know. We're leaking worse than the bloody Titanic here, lads. And we ain't scoring enough. Like, Pingu, this shouldn't be a surprise to us now at this stage, am I right?
No, you're expecting to concede. You know, every game you're just waiting to see when is it going to happen. And obviously, I didn't get on the podcast at the weekend and Cameron Yates went in and there was a little bit of hope there. Maybe, but it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? We have no chance.
Well, Gally put out a message saying, finally, Yates is in the team. Someone was listening to us. So that was the kiss of death straight away.
Yeah, but we've no chance in hell, like, of just keeping a clean sheet, you know. I'd be looking at the goalkeeper and just saying, you're fired at this stage, you know. It's absolutely, it's atrocious, you know, as the great Vince McMahon would say. But no, it's just, look, I'm trying to keep it as light as I can because I'm pissed off at the minute, but it's just absolutely.
Can you be pissed off without your WWE references? No.
No. The only way we can survive.
Again, I'll just show me the money and maybe I'll do it. But what do you call it? No, but look, at the end of the day, it's like, I put it in our group chat as a joke. I said, you know, Filippo was let go for less, or he was allowed to leave for less at this point. And I'm not fully blaming Vinny because, like, as everyone has said, it's not his team. But like, he didn't sign him, but he had an interview with Gavin McLaughlin when he came back. And he said, he turned around and said he was the man to turn this around. And you can't have a game, or you can't have a European run and say, right, he's turned around, because that's what Filippo done. Filippo got us into the Europa League group stages, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you have to call a spade here. And Finney hasn't done a good job. And there's reasons behind that that probably aren't all his fault. But
1 point in 18.
Yeah, one point out of 21, I think, actually, isn't it?
21 now, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just, that's not good enough. For a club of Dundalk stature, and especially when you've came back and tried to instill the confidence that you are the right man for the job, it's painstakingly obvious that he's not.
I think Flano's just messaged in there, and I think he's right, you know, that we're conceding that many goals without any teams actually creating anything great against us. It's not like there's absolute wonder strikes. We're gifting them stuff. Like, first goal, like, corner kick, we completely turned off. Nobody's watching the quick corner take, and it's just driven across the box. It must have gone across, what, five players?
That easy. Was criminal. That was absolutely
criminal. And Sonny standing at the back post wondering why there was a man behind him. Surely that was your man.
Yeah, that was absolutely.
And he's not even moving. He's completely flat-footed. So he's got no movement, no momentum, no nothing. Your man actually could have took a shot. I can't remember who scored the goal. Apologies.
Andre Wright.
Yes, he could have took a chat. He could have took a touch. That's how much time he had on it. No goalkeeper in no man, not in no man's land, but I don't know if he's waiting for a flex.
Someone's that much time in your 6-yard box, you've got much chance.
Yeah, and like, they've got so much space. Like, whenever we're going across the box, it's gone past. There's nobody on our players. Like, the lads are standing no mark of nobody, and it goes across them all. It's frightening. Like Flano says, it could be different if they were scoring screamers from 30 yards. Like, it's just, it's real criminal stuff. It's like, they're shooting yourself in the foot, and then there's just loading the gun yourself and taking it with you to play football.
That's, I think, crazy. Flano's hit the nail on the head there, is that, you know, teams don't even have to get out of first gear to beat us at the minute.
That's the
worst part of it, is how often over
the I think you counted there was 8 defenders in the box for that corner.
It's mental.
Yeah, and none of them
always. But like Pingu, right, I'll say it to you coming as a coach on this. The two goals we conceded tonight were two set pieces. Surely that's stuff you can work on the training ground.
Well, if you've only 10 outfield players, then that's something you should at least have ready. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's something that, as you say, you can work on that. And even just working on the shape of it, you know, or who's going to be where. And I remember, obviously, from the days with Fozzie and stuff like that, they would be in the dressing room and you know who you're marking. Do you know, once you get your team sheet, they write down which player you're marking, what the number is, different things like that there. And, like, in a situation like this, maybe where we don't have as many players training, at least tell the players, go man for man.
Yeah.
You know, but it looked like it was zonal defending for that corner kick today. I think everyone just let it pass through their zone for the next player to get it.
And
unfortunately, it was a Sligo man that got it. But yeah, it's just, it's the basics that we're getting wrong. You wouldn't be, as you say, you wouldn't be too disappointed if you could see the goal from 35 yards, you hold your hands up and say it's a good strike, or in our case, the goalkeeper might have been out of position. But just in general, a 30-yard goal usually is a decent finish. But to concede a criminal goal like that, particularly that first one, just as a coach, I was just spitting. Because if my under-12's done, I'm about to coach under-10s now in a minute.
Go easy.
I'll have to jump. Well, I'm just doing laps after that shite today. But if they'd done that, I'd be going mad. If they let the ball go across the box like that, you'd lose the head. Gally, you know that even as a coach. Like, that's just something that
it's simple. It's clear your lines. It's one, like, it's defending 101. Just clear your lines. Put your boot on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, look at it. But I think you can forgive goals like that if you're banging them in at the far end. You know what I mean? But we're not.
But Gally, does it not fall back then into, I think players are all hiding because they don't want to be the one to make the mistake. And therefore, nobody will just, you know, like, we have seen it from Andy Boyle before. And I'm thinking it back into the Pats game, that time where, you know, he threw himself in front of everything. But clearly he can't be everywhere. But nobody else is of that same level of commitment to the club. And it's just like, the ball's gone past me. Well, it's somebody else's now. It's so tough.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to be one to stick there, because once if I put the ball into the net here and it's an own goal, I'll be ridiculed for it.
Yeah, and I think there's a confidence issue as well. So if you've got the likes of Sonny at the back, and unfortunately you have a BB, and I don't want to hammer the goalkeeper all the time, but they don't make it easy for themselves not to be hammered. Like, when you've got no confidence at the back, it seems to kind of be this. Like, imagine Andy Boyle wasn't playing, you know, like that, like. So what's happening is teams are just running at the boys all the time, putting balls in over the top. They're almost hitting hopes and knowing that there's going to be a mistake. If you do that 5 times in a game against the dog, you'll get 2 chances out of it. Easy.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is finish your dinner in. You know, and that's the criminal part of it. These lads, like, we can joke that Sonny plays for Faroe Islands, but he's still an international. So he's still better than some centre-halves in Faroe Islands. That's the worrying thing. What are the rest of them like?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and there just seems to be no, like, we can't really use the excuse of, oh, they have to gel. You know, they're coming in from, they're here long enough. Like, they're here since January, February. They're here long enough. Like, geez, I know you. We can talk about the coaching, but there's not much. Vinny can't do, like, without going back to defending 101 in training, go back to basics with them, there's not a lot. If you send boys out to do a job, professional footballers, they have to produce. Some of them do. I think Dunwigan plays well, Boyle plays well, Sloggan can come in and out of the game, Stanton on his day, but there's something you have to produce. When you go over that, you have to produce for the jersey. Like, I don't know what Vinny can do about that. I don't know what Vinny can do about just clear your lines. It's simple stuff. They shouldn't have to be taught that in training.
Yeah, exactly. And Donal, like, we had a message from Donal Green, he's just saying that too many players look to have downed tools. You know, foreign lands will probably leave the end of the season, and judging by the body language of Boyle and others, they could be in the first ticket out of here too. Whoever the manager is next year will need to sign 20 players. Like, how is he going to attract any of them on 1 year deals? Like, it's pretty damning.
If they're relegated, they won't need 20 players.
Yeah,
they'll need about 9.
The problem, the rest of the youth. Yeah, there's like a couple of like massive elephants in the room. The interview with Bill that came out today, and the strategy
that after, I think, yeah, it's
strategy that's within that then is obviously like massively problematic. But even just like what we were saying about the recruitment and things, I don't think the team is playing that much different from when Vinny was in charge the last time, except Rodgers was in goals the last time, and he had Gartland and Boyle and Cleary, maybe not Boyle, Gartland and Cleary.
Yeah.
You know, a solid back four. We would have had the other two, Massey and Gannanon, as well. So he had a settled back four and a goalkeeper that would keep clean sheets for him. And at the other end, you get the goal like you got tonight, and that would get you 3 points. And they're just not in a position to win games the way he won games with us the last time. And it just doesn't look any different from before. And when you don't have the players to do what you did before, I don't know whether something has to change in terms of how he goes about trying to win games, but he doesn't have the players to try and keep clean sheets and win games 1-0 anymore.
Yeah. Pingu, I know you're stuck for time and we appreciate you jumping on tonight. But before you go, I suppose we get one last roundup from you from what's been another crazy week from the Dundalk Football Club.
Yeah, I suppose, look, I'll let you talk about the Bill Hulsizer stuff because I could be on for another 15 minutes chatting about that and I could be out of a job. But I suppose looking at the game again, and just one thing that I say, looking at some of the comments that have come in, I think some of our supporters need to take off their Stephen Kenny era hat. Some of these new players like are rightfully getting blamed for certain things, but some of our players are getting away scot-free that aren't putting in an effort, you know, and I think it's important we take off that hat of what was before and start looking at it properly and saying, you know, some of these lads haven't put any effort in or have down tools as well. And I don't think it's unfair to have a go at them lads as well, you know. And I just think it's been too long and it's been annoying me over the last couple of weeks that those lads are just getting away scot-free and they're not getting any criticism at all, you know. So I think it's time to start looking at those lads too, and they need to stand up and be counted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to be fair, like, you know, we're never one for really single out individual players. I think what's annoying us most of all is, as a whole unit, we seem to be frightened. We seem to be scared as players to make the mistake instead of being brave enough to put yourself out there. And, you know, we've seen before, out of nothing, we pull things out, we've done things and got a result when sometimes the result wasn't there for us, but we dug deep and we found that these players don't even look like they have a will to win, never mind, you know, snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory as they seem to be doing, maybe actually. You know, it's just nuts. It's a lack of commitment is the real heartbreaking thing here. We're watching teams just run directly at us, like you said, Pingu, and maybe lob a ball over the top, and that's all it's taking to beat us.
Yeah.
Towards we'd much prefer something else to come with, you know, like we said, if we were being beaten by 30-yard screamers, we'd say, well, teams have clearly had to up their game to try to beat us, and sometimes you just got to take that on the chin, and that's what it is. But we're easy pickings right now. If you want to play, if any other team in the league is looking at fixtures now, wondering where am I going to pull 3 points, they're looking for the Dundalk fixture as soon as they can.
Yeah, and even if you look at the second goal, like, we haven't even mentioned the second goal, but it's a simple ball over the top. No, again, not being picked up. Boy just walks in, first header. Now, I don't know if a BB, I don't know how far it's gone over. But I actually thought he nearly slapped it into the net. Like, I don't know how far he is off his line that he's able to get his hand in that, and it goes over him and in under the bar all at the one time. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just a free header. Like, it's, you know, completely useless. Just, like, it's just so simple. One ball, back of the net. It's criminal that we keep using that word. It's just...
It seems to go right down easy the neck of a BB though as well. And rather than standing with his...
Donal Green might be able to
tell us better on this. Yeah. But
it's like he dives under it.
Yeah, I think if you put your two hands up and force it up and over the bar instead of putting your hand up and looking for...
Trust your
I don't know. I don't know if the if the Nordlaug Carlingford League was a high enough standard to say any of this. Although, lads, two Shield wins out in the bush. I'm just going to say that.
That's more than this team will win.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think Pingu's obviously ran out of time, and we appreciate him for actually jumping in and giving us the time he could today. I think before we go through the show and we get even more depressed, we might even lose our guest tonight. So I think it's perfect time to bring in Lee McConville. So Lee is part of the, I suppose, the media outlet for the new supporters club, the 1903. And so, Lee, look, you're very welcome to the show. How are you, pal? You scare me when you come in.
How are you?
I thought you were doing a Danny on us there. With
Why did my internet... No. My internet was grand there, and all of a sudden when you added me, it started all jumping.
Yeah, you get out of Danny's house, right, is what I would say to you.
Caught up.
We're all right. We're all right.
Yeah.
Well, look, before we get into the supporters club, Lee, I suppose just your thoughts on the game tonight and your thoughts on Dundalk, I suppose, this season.
Well, it's hard to talk about, isn't it? Like, it's just even frustrating to think about. Like, there's stupid losses week in, week out. Goals being conceded for absolutely... I could have saved them, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like blaming people, but definitely need the Sonny out and Albibi out. Like the tonight there, the second goal, Sonny stood there, watch it go over his head. Like, he's a big man.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to get in and put his head to it. And then Albibi, I don't know. Like, as you said yourself there a minute ago, I don't know about much goalkeeping myself either. Like, but he's like coming on there and pushing it up into the net. Like, it's hard to watch. Normally, I'd love a wee conversation about them dog play, but now if people talk about it, just don't even talk about it to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sickening your happiness, like.
It certainly would. It certainly would. And then to make things even worse, then you decide to get involved in the supporters club.
Yeah, I know. It's great timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know.
But look, to be fairly, like, it was, I would say, Gally, it must have been one of the first three shows we called it out there and then that the biggest problem has been, and luckily, I don't know if you know, but, you know, myself, Gally and Pingu, previously, we were all involved in the Lily White Supporters Club previously. So we know what it takes to try to get these up and running, and we know the effort it takes, and it's not easy by any means. But look, you seem to be making a good feat of it. I suppose, first and foremost, tell us your reason for getting involved with the Supporters Club, and then I suppose the reason for setting up a supporters club too.
Well, originally I put myself forward because I wanted, like, the committee, it was very much a, like, it was always going to be, like, sorry, like, I can't even speak here.
You're great.
Like, I'd sit over in the shed side, so I wanted a shed side viewing things, like, and I wanted us to be inputted in that on the decisions and stuff. So I just put myself forward. There was the rules going to the committee, and I'd be all right with the other computers and stuff. So I just went for the media one. And at the start now, the age of the internet now, so we had to get this website up and running. And a lot of that was Andrea, who's departed, unfortunately. But she was a great help with that. Now I took it all over, and we've it up and running. So we're flying now with it. Like, we've I think there's 127 paid members now.
Brilliant.
So oh,
very good.
Yeah, good going. And then we actually... I don't know how much I can say in this now, but we've our first face-to-face meeting happening next week.
Right.
So we're just trying to get
exclusive. That's an exclusive.
Yeah.
Brendan, I love you for this.
So we're just, for final details, getting finished up on that there. We'll put it out end of this week.
Right.
And I think that's open to go next week, I think.
Sure. I'm sure later in the week, like you say, we'll be able to confirm all the times and place and location and stuff like that then. So, I mean, look, I suppose we kind of mentioned at the start of the year that with the uncertainty surrounding Peak Six, you know, now more than ever, it was so important to get a supporters club up and running, because clearly Peak Six don't rate our supporters' point of view too highly on the list of priorities of running this club. And two, if they were to leave, there would be no central body to run the club. Like, a supporters club could step in the short term. You know, I know you wouldn't want to, but you know, like, that is an opportunity. So the club couldn't just go belly under because there was nobody there to run it. So it's highly important that people do get involved in this, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I hope this supporters club outlives me. Like, you know, it's,
yeah,
if we have something there that's solid and existing year in, year out, like that, like, you can see that already. Like, Brendan's been talking to Bill, Jim, mm-hmm. you know, as individuals, you know, it's all just an opinion, but if we work together and we can, you know, we're stronger together, you know what I mean?
I'm not too sure Peak Six understand that, but I get what you're saying, at least.
Yeah, but I know that's I'm awful at speaking, lads. You don't realize until you're put in the spot, do you?
If you think you're awful at speaking, you should watch our first couple of podcasts.
Yeah. You should watch this one back for
us. Yeah, just go back to the start of this one.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose, Lee, look, from your own point of view, you just said that you'd normally be kind of watching on from the shed and stuff like that. Like, was it everything that's going on this year that you kind of realize when that supporters club was kind of starting to gain some momentum, when Andrea kind of got the ball rolling? Was it something you said, no, that's something I have to get involved in?
Yeah, 100%. Like you seen the start of the year, the boys having protests, and it was very much dividing the club. People saying protest, don't protest.
Yeah.
And then, where at least if you have a supporters club, you have the majority of fans signed up to it. You can vote on it and see what people actually want to do. Whereas
it's more democratic,
Whereas if you have there's going to be a protest group, you know, that's all it's going to be. Mm-hmm. There's only going to be people that's interested in the protest signing up on that there. So just more democratic, as you said.
The other element of that then, I'm thinking, is, you know, the club has gone and appointed two SLOs this year. So what would be the supporters group's contact with the SLOs, and is that feedback in, or does the supporters group kind of, I'm just thinking because Brendan's gone and, you know, gone up to the club, met Jim, talked to Bill, is it a more direct line of conversation than that, or what way is it, do you think?
Well, we've had Jane and Stephen in some of our committee meetings as well,
right?
Just chatting to them, but
Will they be at all the other meetings then, I presume, too, will they?
I don't think they'll be at all of them. It's an independent, you know, it's not the club's supporters club, if you know what I mean. It's the fans one.
Yeah.
So I think, originally we got in contact with the club through Jane and Stephen.
Yeah.
And then, so Brendan has been talking back and forth with the actual club and not Jane and Stephen, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we were saying, not only for the whole reason of, you know, the worst case scenario really with the club and everything else with setting up supporters club, we also said at the start of the year that it's important that the supporters do get a voice in all of this. And one of the things we've been all calling out for is an improvement in Oriel Park. And I know Brendan is part of this steering group as well to improve the facilities up there. And is that something that this supporters group will actually also be kind of championing, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I know Brendan was at the meeting and everything that he told me, and I'm sure everything that he knows, has been put into the Facebook group that he's he's been very good at posting in that now. So I'm sure if there's decisions to be made, he'll put it in and get the supporters club opinion on it before he gives his opinion on it.
Yeah.
You know, so you could almost see it, him being on the committee is the supporters being on the committee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Because one thing we mentioned was, you know, if you look at funny enough, it happens to be Sligo Rovers too, but we were talking Galway at the start of the year where Shamrock Rovers decided they would build this wall and everybody could get a plaque on the wall with your name on it. It ended up raising 40 grand in this tiny little wall in the corner, but it's now the supporters have a piece of Sligo Rovers forever. They paid like, I can't remember, Gally, what the price it was per brick or something. Was it like, it could have been like 10 to 20.
Yeah, I don't think it was astronomical money.
No, it wasn't astronomical, but they've done it twice in two different phases and raised, you know, quite a considerable sum of money. And we were saying, you know, that sort of money is more than enough, surely, to go and start talking to the likes of an architect or something about how do we improve these facilities. Well, look, if we got the okay from the Casey family that they were, you know, because let's face it, the club isn't going to invest in any sort of improvements to Oriel Park. They've clearly stated that they're only concerned with the football side of Dundalk Football Club. So we were saying that, you know, this kicks the can, and this could be something onto the committee then after that Brendan's on. I know it's not directly what you have, but I'm saying we could use the force of the supporters club to raise funds, to create a pool of money there. And this is going to improve Oriel Park for all fans. Nothing to do with Peak Six, nothing to do with anything else, but it's improving our match day facility.
Yeah, no, that's something I definitely said from the get-go. Like, you wouldn't build an extension on a rented house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it should be up to the fans to even lobby politicians, get our own money together and put something, you know, solid and concrete down in Oriel Park. Like even there the other day, there was me and Dylan Quigley up building a fence. You know, like the way, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you been in Oriel Park recently?
I was allowed there a couple of weeks ago.
First used to get paid to be there.
Yeah. So, you know the puddle that Peak Six covered? At the very end of that, towards the shed, we built the fence there, and then the shed side is going to get put the displays and all that there. So just even things like that there, like, we can make the, you know, you don't have to wait for Peak Six to go and fix the stadium and build us a new stadium. We definitely can do it ourselves. And it's something that has been in the long-term aims of the supporters club when we originally done the presentation. So you're dead right. If the fans get on the ball and stop waiting around for someone else to do it, it's definitely something we could do. Because you said they're 40 grand, like, you could definitely
it keeps the can down the road, Lee. It's not going to do anything. But the whole point of all of this, and I think if you take what Finn Harps have done, and if you take the, you know, what Sligo are doing there as well, it just takes a group of supporters. Hopefully now, you know, like the 1903 group will have, you know, like, you know yourself, like I'm signed up to it as well. I'm fully behind this too. I just want us to see us go, we mobilize, we do our own thing. And then we're forcing the hands of politicians, we're forcing the hand of influential people, you know, who have access to sporting grants, for instance. Say, well, look, we've got the seed money here. What are you doing? We've done this. What have you been doing? You know, you know, like we only said to it there recently, you know, everyone laughed at Loud GA saying, well, you know, where are you going to build a stadium from? You're never going to raise a million to kick all this off. Next minute, you know, win a house draw and pulled a million out of it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You know, it proves once you get an initiative behind and you kick the ball in, now the GA have to roll in behind. Now the sports council have to roll in behind, or otherwise, you know, fans have just wasted a million and they'll never let that happen.
Like it's not easily done, but it is easily done. You can, you know, like the fundamentals are there, and if you know what you're at and you set up your own strategy, like, it's definitely something that we could do. And I don't know why we haven't started doing it earlier, but hopefully this can be something that the supporters club can do. And I'm sure even at the first meeting that we have, we can bring it up and start to mobilize.
Exactly. Look, and to be fairly, like, we call that out too. It's on us all as fans. We went through the good times and we just thought this will never end. And, you know, this is all great. But realistically, when we had record attendances, we had record, you know, achievement on the park, we had, you know, the best of everything. We should have been come together as fans there saying, let's have a legacy from all of this. Let's not let this go to waste. And unfortunately, we didn't. But look, hindsight's a great thing. We're here now. And that's why I think if that's the goal for this supporters group to be doing these sort of projects, then, like, 100%, I think majority of the fans would be right in behind us.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like even look at the temporary stand we had a few years ago against Cork. Like, that was unbelievable.
and for the League Cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you look at Shelbourne Stadium. They have, no, is it Shelbourne? They have a temporary stand. No. Or is it Sligo? It's a temporary stand, but it's just, it's exactly what we had that yeah. final. And it's there all year
round. Probably Sligo's open one, is it? Behind, on the railway end, is it?
I was watching it earlier, and I feel like it would...
Somebody has a temporary stand.
Someone in the League of Ireland, anyway. I don't know who it is. But, like, it's there all year
round. Other Bray, one side of their whole pitch, the home side, is completely a temporary thing when you think about it.
Yeah.
And most of, you know, I don't know if anyone goes to any Leinster games, but, you know, the Anglesey side is completely temporary.
Yeah.
You know, as well. Like so.
It's something you could throw up in, I don't know how long, a week, whatever. And it looks so much better. And I don't know how expensive they are, but they're definitely not as there as building a whole new stand. And it just make Oriel Park look so much better.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's covered too. Like, you know, if you're going to go to that expense, let's go get it covered. Let's go get a good one as well. You know, and once again, that could be something, I suppose, you know, as a supporters group that we could be involved in too. But what would be great is if we're going to be putting the extra effort like that to come in, especially if it's only a temporary thing, I think you'd be looking for the owners to contribute something too then.
Yeah. But sure, like we've going down with $1 billion in the bank, like, you know what I mean? We're never going to have more money than we have now. Mm. And the owners aren't going to build a stand. So who's going to come in and build a stand? It's going to be up to the fans to do it. And so it's definitely something that we should at least look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think people think because the fans are doing as well, like it would have took something like the 1903 to be set up, people think, oh, well, it'll take forever. But if we keep waiting on it, it will take forever. You know, if you people like yourself started up, I know we attempted it a couple of years ago, it didn't work out, but you know, people want stuff instantly. And, you know, if the 1903 maybe was set up maybe 12 months ago, you've got an extra year. So people need to give it time. You know, like you say, it sounds like a lot of work, but it's not really. If everybody does a little bit, it's not massively hard work. Obviously, you've got to get your permission, but yeah, I think it's great. It's great to get people like yourselves involved, and you know, it's probably what we've been missing for the last couple of years with all the success. It's easily forgotten that we need a supporters club, but it's great that it's set up. You know.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like it's, you know, you can sit in your hands all the time and say, "Oh, someone else did." Like, it only takes one person to get something like this going, and which it can escalate to a whole new stadium, like, you know, if we really put our mind to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely, just the more numbers we have, the better. Like, so I'd urge everyone to go up and sign.
Yeah, so the website is the 1903.ie, am I right?
The 1903. That's the one, yeah.
Sorry, don't be researching.
And we should just mention, just see Danny O'Connell. Danny's Wi-Fi must be working perfectly tonight. He's put up a GoFundMe for
displays.
The shed site, they're doing the banners and stuff. They're looking for money to raise money on that. Yeah. So, you know, people pop onto that and the lads do great work up in Oriel with the signs and all that.
Yeah, we did retweet the link earlier for you, Danny. So we'll do that again during the week, and we'll put it up onto all our socials. Steph has come in to grace us with his presence. Steph, how are you, pal?
Nice things, lads. How are you?
All good. And yourself?
Terrible.
Brand.
I thought you were going to come in with some sort of optimism tonight. But obviously not. I hope you're not back in here for more WWE references.
No. I don't think that would be the bottom line on it.
Lads.
No, you know, times are tough.
That Hank's whiskey deal.
Yeah, I think we should all have it. That's what we're looking for when we join up, is a bottle of Donald's whiskey and his latest blog. That's what everyone should get.
That playlist is going to get played tonight.
Lee, look, we really do appreciate you jumping on here tonight for us. And look, as I said to you before, off air, you know, we'd love, similar to Jane and other people who we've had on the show, you know, use this platform, please, to get out there and chat to the fans as well. We're more than happy to give anyone at the Supporters Club an airing on any night that they need it at all. So thanks so much for popping us in tonight, and hopefully the next time we're on, it's a better result, mind you.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, cheers, lads, for having me on. It's been all right to come on. Thanks for listening to me yell, stuttering and all, boys.
Not a bit.
Next time, I hope.
Lee, not worse than we all do, so I really wouldn't worry about it. Perfectly. Thanks so much, pal.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks a million.
Cheers, pal. Bye. So, Steph, what did you think of that tonight?
Well, look, the first 15 minutes or whatever it was decent and it was a bit promising, but we just revert it back then to the norm of late. I know Gally said, and Chris, you sort of mentioned as well, like we're afraid to win, but I just think like it's just through lack of effort and just like the first goal, just waiting for somebody else to clear it. Like a defender's instinct should be to just get rid of the ball. Or
pick,
like when you're in a dogfight like that, you need to dig in and do the dirty work. Battle for anything you can get. It just looks lifeless and soulless at the minute.
But I said it looks nearly though that they're just too scared to commit to something, though, Steph. You know, if a ball's coming across it, they don't want to stick their foot in case they get it wrong and then they get the blame. You know, it's like a weird atmosphere that nobody wants to be the one who, you know, will stick their neck out and get a clout in the face going for something, but you've cleared your line, you turn around after and say, well, I done my job, lads, what are you doing, sort of a thing. And that raises everyone going, do you know what? Fucking, I'm going into battle with this lad too then. Like, there's none of that.
I think that's a perfect example of what Chris Shields would have done.
Yeah.
Like even in his last game, we were saying, like, his last act was to throw his head in front of a volley that was probably going in. And there's not enough in that in the team. Like, it seems like it's, like, there's no soul to the team anymore. They're just going out. Teams are probably looking at, even teams that aren't in form, looking at us now going, well, look, at least we'll be able to turn our form around against Dundalk. Like, and that's
it's an easy match. 3 points, aren't we?
Yeah, like we mentioned it months ago that a BB, like, you need to score two because he was always gonna let one in, like, so. And we haven't been doing scoring enough goals lately, but just the defending, the first goal was a nightmare. Like, if you're a defender, you're, I don't know, you're, I was going to say you're tearing your hair out, but there's none left.
I think, like, most teams can carry, just what you were saying about player, like, you can carry one or two Egypts, but, like, Egypts can't carry other Egypts. That's the way we're playing at the minute. It's just, you can't carry that amount of just lackluster performance. Like, it'd be different if they were playing like this, you know, after maybe three games in a week, you know, or 9 days, and they're just completely bent. I know we got a week, the bench is a bit weak tonight, but like when you're getting 20 minutes of good football out of a team and then they're coming unstuck against a team that aren't even playing well, it's just, I don't even know where you start with it. I don't know what you do with training. I don't know where you start with them.
I think if we look, there's a number of matters, I suppose, going around Oriel Park that we probably need to talk about. One is obviously going to be Bill's interview, but before we go to that, like, let's talk about where we are as a team right now. I mean, I've never in my time as a Dundalk fan seen an injury list quite like this.
No.
Now, we've called out the lack of behind the scenes staff members between coaching and medical staff. We've called out this pitch. You know, is this what we're seeing now as a result? Steph, you even said in the first few ones, you know, three games as pre-season isn't enough to have you prepared. So is that what we're seeing? A lack of conditioning from, you know, playing three pre-season friendlies? Is that what we're starting to see with all these injuries?
Probably a combination of everything you've mentioned. People's been talking about the pitch not being looked after as well up there. I'm not up there every week, so.
Like, I know Jimmy Fisher said he is watering the pitch and he's doing what he can with it and stuff like that. You know, I personally have seen him do it because he's given out to me for being on the pitch a few times. That's how I know. Yeah. But like, there's something clearly. But you know, for all the watering you could be doing, it's if the pitch is going past its sell by date.
Yeah.
You know, like we've all said that there was a time and a place where the AstroTurf pitch was great because, you know, playing in the domestic league, Steph, was great when you got a chance to go up to Oriel Park and play on the big pitch and stuff like that. And it was always good. But there's no necessity for it now with artificial pitches to a penny around the town. It doesn't get used half as much as it used to anymore. Should we just go back to a grass pitch now at this stage?
Yeah, I think there used to be an advantage for us. We used to know how to play it, and then even the weeks that Dundalk was playing away in a grass pitch, they'd be down in Eamon Heaney or I don't even know what the other field's called, but like they'd be training all week down the grass just to get back used to the grass when they played away games. But now it just seems like a disadvantage because we're picking up the injuries. We're playing it every second week, whereas teams only have to play on it once every 9-10 weeks, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
like the injury list is ridiculous, but like some of it you're sort of thinking it's bad, but like you're thinking in the back of your head, are people just crying off sick? Like you're hearing of all these injuries in training, like there's some that happen in a match, like, but there's a lot of boys just, oh, he's injured now. The list keeps going up, even the latest one with Yates, like he's just injured now. He's on the injury list. Leahy's been out for a while. You've heard of players been told they needed 12 to 14 days rest and starting a match and coming off after 20, 25 minutes, breaking down, and then they're out for an unnamed amount of time. Like, so, okay, thank
you. We've seen the bad injuries, you know, don't know, like we remember the Derry match where we were literally battered off the park. And, you know, guards, one I'm thinking as well, you know, up in Tallaght Stadium at that time, there's certain injuries you can't help. But I'm just, when you look at that many injuries starting to pile up, you kind of have to start joining some dots. And like Steph said, you know, the lack of preseason, the lack of having a full staff behind the scenes, this has to be all playing a part now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the mysteries that I really, really love to have a proper answer for, because like there's certain other things like the recruitment and ownership or whatever else that we have decent ideas of like what the problem is or what's causing this or the root cause of something else. But the injuries is just mental, because it's the number of them. And as Vinny did say in one of the interviews about, he was like, if it was muscle injuries, that'd be one thing, but he's like, they're not getting like standard like wear and tear muscle injuries, they're getting like hip injuries and other strange ones. So
it's like impact injuries then, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but so like the pitch, I mean, the day we played Pats, I was convinced that the pitch had ended John Mountney's season. And I think it probably has, but it's just one of those things where like all of those elements are probably at play in this, like the pitch, the lack of preparation before the season started, the lack of appropriate staff, the lack of, I don't know, like if it's the lack of care given to the lads, like in the recovery from injuries. It just seems like there's so many that are, there's so many that you almost can't look at it like it's a coincidence now that there's this many injuries. Like there has to be something. And it probably is a combination of all those things, like Steph said. And we've unfortunately probably lost three or four lads now for the rest of the season. And some of them we probably have lost that we don't think we've lost yet, but there's like this unnamed length of time, like whether David McMillan comes back, you know, because I don't know if I missed the press release that said how long he was going to be out for, but the last time it was kind of left open-ended. So,
yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot to unpack in that.
I mean, we've got Gally, and then, you know, like Steph just said, you wonder about a lack of commitment sometimes from some of them. We said earlier in the season that we'd be worried the longer everything starts rolling with the way contracts went at the start of the year when we lost players who were running down contracts or had short-term left, will they start thinking about elsewhere, wondering where they're going to be next year? Is that started to happen, or kind of saying, well, I don't want to injure myself because I want to be playing ball next year somewhere else?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, at the end of the day, it's their job. You know, we know we have one or two part-time players over Kenny's era, but I mean, if they don't know where they're going to be after Christmas, actually before Christmas, the contracts will be up in November because they know you're playing football. But Yeah, they'd have one eye on it, and you'd think, right, maybe one or two will take their eye off the ball. But on the flip side, I think Stefan said it last week, they should be playing for their contracts, even if it is somewhere else. They're in the shop window now. Like, I mean, like, if you're going to do it now, because, you know...
Unless they already have something already agreed.
Look, that's it. We don't know, and I'm sure it's happened down the line before. But it like... You know, at the end of the day, they're still paid by Oriel Balogh. You know, you got to walk. Like, if you're not going to play for your current employer, I'd be thinking, is the manager going to take it next season? Well, Jesus, are they going to do that to me as well? Yeah. Now, look, we're not saying that's the reason. I mean, we're talking about injuries there on the grass pitch, but it doesn't matter when your contract's up. Play until it's finished. You know, like, it's football at the end. You're being paid to be a full-time footballer. What better job is there? You know, like,
yeah.
You know, especially, like, you know, when you're good at it, if a gang of footballers that aren't that good, fair enough. But these boys can play if they want. And it just doesn't seem, I don't know if the sideline can't get it out of them. Like, we're talking about a team that won the President's Cup. You know, I know that's the start of the season, but we still beat Shamrock Rovers. And we still have a lot of players who played in the team last year. I know we've taken in a few, but there still is a few that was there last season. You know, when we're talking about the grass pitch, I remember Ronan Finn delaying a contract, delaying coming from Rovers to Kenny over the grass pitch or the all weather pitch. Yeah, that person we don't mention. But it was delayed by 2 weeks.
Brilliant,
he said to me, because he didn't want to play on the artificial surface. He had to be convinced of it. Like, how many players have not signed at Oriel Park? I don't know of any, but I'm sure there is one or two that hasn't signed because of the pitch. But like, I don't know what a pitch costs, but I mean, ideally, if you could go to grass, I do think it would cut. Well, it would put to bed the nonsense of, is it the grass? Is it the artificial that's killing these boys' hips? Sort of. I remember Dean, was it Dean that mentioned a player before that had osteo something from the pitch? Was that a?
Yeah, that's earlier in the season. That's done from.
From
the impact on the pitch over a time. Yeah,
osteo. I mean, ideally, you want to play on grass. I know it's snow proof, but I mean, if the weather's that bad, game will be called off anyway. So the fans can't get to it. I would worry about snow, but look at. Grass, or I mean, I don't know what it costs to lay. I don't know what the cost to lay a professional grass pitch, but I mean, the boy,
when we had Tony O'Kane on, he said that the artificial pitch was put in to serve a purpose, but that purpose has been served now at this stage, and they should have moved back. Yeah. Steph, I'm just thinking, you know, with the recruitment this year and the way we brought in a number of overseas players, are we starting to see them kind of go, don't really fancy this league, I'll be going somewhere else at the end of this year. So chances are I'll probably still be playing this year somewhere on the continent or something like that. Best not get injured.
Yeah, I think the problem now is that we have that many injuries that they're going to play every week, which is the heart. Like, Sonny's probably going to play every week and he shouldn't be allowed a squad number anymore. Like, a BB's the exact same. Like, none of them two should put on a Dundalk jersey again after the last couple of weeks. But,
well, you'd like to think with the current form, Steph, that he shouldn't be near the first team.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'll never knock somebody for wanting to put on the jersey, but sometimes, you know, you'd like to think we're at a certain standard that these guys just can't get into the team because we're just of that high standard, but we're not at all this year.
It's crazy. I think the logic behind it, some reason, was, look, we're gonna sign five or six international players, and we're going to be this great team. But you're signing five international players from outside the league. They're not from household name countries.
Yeah.
You know, they have a certain standard. They're internationals, that's fair. Like, but you're signing them on inflated wages for one-year deals. That's going to be useless to Dundalk at the end of the season. They can go anywhere else for free at the end of the year. Like, what we had a couple of years ago, signing the likes of Jamie McGrath, for example, Patrick McElhenney, the younger Patrick McElhenney, for three or four year deal, or 2 or 3 year deal, and then he had a fee then at the end of it if he went. Hoban was the same.
Yeah.
We were all younger, and they actually had a value to them. It was just signing someone on a 1 year deal at massive money. Like, it's crazy. I don't understand it at all, but
I mean,
it doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know if any of you have heard Kieran Gilduff on LOI Central this week, and he was talking about his time that Kenny had signed him at the club, and they were saying that, you know, how did one, how did Kenny get so much out of these players? And like, I know Pingu was given out to us for hanging on to the Kenny era, but I just thought this was an amazing bit. And he was talking about, you know, every time Kenny signed somebody, he turned up for training and we'd all be so impressed. We were like, well, I can't sit back here. I'm not going to get into the team unless I up my game.
Yeah.
And it was just every time Kenny signed a player, they had to lift their standards a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, till eventually we seen this team that, you know, went on fabulous runs, and we know what happened then after, you know, the success that came with it. And then if you look at this team right now, what you've just said there, Steph, you know, you've got players making mistakes and they're back in the team next week because we've got nothing else there. How did we go from that level of competition within our ranks? And not only that, but the level of recruitment too, that it seemed like, you know, obviously that was left to Stephen Kenny to handpick these players that he really, really wanted, that he knew was going to improve this side towards this year. Like you just said, Steph, we just got these international players in who was going to just raise the profile of the club, but not the level of, you know, we let players leave. Don't worry, I'm not going to mention them. And we replaced them with substandard players from what I can see this year. Maybe they are better players, but they're certainly not showing it. And it's like the complete opposite effect of what we had previously that Kieran Kilduff was talking about. We seem to have these other players coming in and people are thinking, well, you know, they're going to keep making mistakes. So like Yates is probably saying, I'll walk into this team looking at how Habibi's playing. Towards, you know, if we're going to be signing another keeper, it should be, well, I've signed here, but you know, like, am I going to play? I don't know, but I'm going to have to work my socks off to get into this team. Like, I'm sure Aaron McCarrie never thought he was going to be that easy to dislodge Gary Rogers, but he said he'll have a go at it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the level of where our goalkeeping was. And you just think of where the level of our team right now, it's going to be opposite of that philosophy.
Yeah.
And it's madness. And that's how we've fallen into this rut.
Kenny had a profile of player that he wanted, and he'd done his homework on them. Like, I know, like, someone that was chasing up like stats on different players, but we weren't signing these unknown players from outside the league that had played 3 competitive senior matches who might be a hit, or if you were signing like the likes of Andy Boyle, who was like a underage international the whole way up. I think he was brilliant in that Shells team. He won the first division with UCD. Like he was only 22, was he, when we signed him? Possibly.
Could have been.
Young and hungry players like that, like John Sullivan, the first year, a point to prove. He was about
the first year. How many players though, Steph, did he pick that had a point to prove?
Yeah, like Richie Powell came back from Scotland after being with Celtic and on loan with Hibs, and he was playing with Bluebell United, he was able to, you know, get him back into the League of Ireland, and look what he's made a fantastic career for himself. Like Darren Meenan had been round the clubs, but Kenny knew him, he was a winner, and like the set pieces he brought to our team, even just look when you look back. Like, how many assists did he get in the run-ins? Like, he was a fixture on the right-hand side to play every week. And then you had the couple of youth players that had the potential to do great things, like Coben, Mountney. Yeah. Shields had already been there, fair enough. But, like, he improved Shields no end, even just bringing him in with Stephen O'Donnell. And, like, Stephen O'Donnell.
But there's Shieldsy. Do you remember, like, Shieldsy was sitting on the bench and we were all calling for him to get into games. But, like, O'Donnell had that position nailed, so he couldn't walk into it. And that was the difference. But by the time Shieldsy finally nailed down that position, you know, he had seen O'Donnell play it to a T. And he learned from one of the best players in that position of how to play it. And some would say he surpassed him in that position. And that's the difference.
Yeah, look, Stephen O'Donnell had been played in Europe with Rovers. Kenny managed to bring him down. Obviously, being the captain sort of was a big draw for him as well. But look, I'm sure Kenny would have told him he wasn't signing with Dundalk just to, you know, try and break into Europe. He was obviously going for league titles, and it's all different. The whole profile of players that we've signed back then is million miles away from what we're doing now. It doesn't make sense to me whatsoever.
No, exactly. And sure, look, Gally, it wouldn't be a madcap week being a Dundalk fan without some crazy story coming out. And lo and behold, Bill is back. Bill is back with a couple of skeletons in the wardrobe, and he's let them all out. And what, you know, this, where did this come from? What is going on? Has he not just contradicted himself all over the place? So for those who don't know, by the way, this was an interview with James Rogers that got released in the Argus, and probably most people had seen it online. But yeah, I was flabbergasted by this.
He's a headbanger. Like, the irony is frightening. Like, one of the quotes, I don't have the actual quote on me, but he was talking about, you know, re-signing players who would get into, you know, first team players and giving them contracts. And then you think of the irony of the players that have gone.
Yeah.
And been allowed to walk away, you know, like, and they're still, like, you know, Fats hasn't gone yet. He's like, it's like he's forgotten everything. It's like, you know, it's like the day starts for him when the interview starts. He thinks that anything before that is just fodder. Like, he's frighteningly, like, he's completely ill-equipped to do this job. To run, I think they think this is an amateur football team, and it's just something like a local baseball team down the park in America, and it's not like this is a proper, like, you know, it's frightening how wrong they've gotten this. And it's like, I wouldn't even print his interviews. I think he's muck. Like, I wouldn't print that shit. Like, imagine us sitting here reading that. Like, imagine how angry it makes people. Like, they do themselves, like, look, it's a great scoop for them, but it's just, You can't do anything but laugh at it. Like, it's embarrassing to have him, like, even to see him in a Dundalk hat would turn your stomach. He's an absolute goof.
Like, we're not knocking him and saying he's not a nice person, but come here, nice people aren't, you know, like, I know lots of nice people.
Yeah.
And some of them are bankrupt, and some of them, you know, are you know.
And look, I'm sure he's a great businessman. Yeah, I'm sure he's a genius businessman, because that's where he's in the position he is. But there's certain things that ego will not do for you. Like, you know, we've seen it before, people trying to take over stuff. We saw it at Sunderland. Now, I'm not saying, if you take, for instance, Niall Quinn went into Sunderland, and this is completely odd. I hadn't written this down, this is completely odd spittle. But he was in at CEO of Sunderland, and then thought he could do the manager's job as well. And that, well, how miserable did that go? And then it changed when they made the right decision, got the right people in. Roy Keane came in, and that was it. Now, I'm not comparing that, but what I'm saying is, you can't let your ego get the better of you. And that's what's happening. If this boy thinks he can come in and just wipe the floor with everybody, you can't. For that interview today, like, I thought it was bad enough that when Reggie done the interview with him for the press box and it came on, some of that was a little bit off. But this today, if anybody's listening that hasn't read it, don't go to bed before you read it. Like, it is just, it's hilarious. Like, it's ridiculous how I just don't understand. Like,
Gally.
He must have come off the line, whoever done the interview, and said, well, I got that completely wrong. I need to redo that.
Gally, he's totally clueless, Bill, isn't he?
He's ridiculous.
And he appointed Vinny back.
Yeah. We can talk about Vinny. I just love this wee dig I have with Vinny Pearl. if we go back to when Vinny took the job, he didn't lose a game in 7. All right. So Vinny was the right man for the job at the time. Now, it's not working out for him, but that, look, it hasn't worked out for many a manager. You know, like, it would have worked out for anybody.
You won't give it up.
No. I'm not giving it up. What I'm saying is, what I said last year, myself and Donald here were on the podcast the other night. If Dave Rogers had taken the job, he'd be gone already. He wouldn't have stood for it. Like, he wouldn't have laughed. He would have murdered everybody. Imagine the rows up there. He wouldn't have stood for what's going on. The club needed someone to come in who would stand for the shite that goes on behind the scenes. And Vinny obviously was going to do that. It's that simple.
He knew all that coming in.
And that's why he took it. Yeah. It's not like that's why
probably why he had to kick off the ball job.
He was a perfect fit for them, because he would just come in and do it. And for what they're saying, he's doing it for nothing. Like, he's actually cost himself money if he's on a pay-to-win gear, a ratio, whatever he's going for. But he was the perfect one for them at the time. And that's, like, results, no manager could stand over that lot tonight. Like, Kenny on the sideline doesn't change them boys tonight. Like they're awesome. I mean,
but
Henley doesn't
not to go off topic there, lads, but if we go back to Bill's interview, like if we take Donal, if we take some of the quotes from it, he gave out to us fans for, you know, for looking at the negatives. We're ninth position.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What's going on? He still thinks that we could finish third.
He thinks 20 teams in the league, I think.
Yeah. Mathematically, he says we're not at a place for third, so we should be still looking at that. And he said that we don't need to apologize for bringing any of the players that we brought in this year. I'm sure his accountant might not agree. And then I think, Gally, the quote you're looking for is, if I had a 19-year-old, I'd give him a 3 or 4 year contract with an option. I've no problem with that whatsoever. But if I had a 27-year-old, I'm not going to give him a 4 year contract. I'll probably give him a 1 year contract with maybe a 1 year option. So we signed Gary Rogers.
Chris, there's another line that comes in straight after that that almost proves that he's goldfishing this interview, where he can't remember the thing that he said 10 seconds after he said it. Because the next line then is, think about it this way. If a coach or a club has a great player who contributes to a culture and the success of a club, why would they let him go?
Yeah, that's the biggest
there's
piece
two
of
lines,
irony.
Right? So let's unpack those two lines. So first and foremost, right, let's take the age one. We signed Gary Rogers at the age of 32. We ended up getting 5 years out of him. During that time, he was called into the Ireland squad. And let's face it, we probably had his best years ever.
Yeah.
And he was one of the most successful goalkeepers since probably like the likes of Alan O'Neill's time. Unpack that, Bill.
Stephen O'Donnell signed from Dundalk when he was 27.
There you go.
You know, it's like, get Brian Gartland, what, 27, 28? Like,
But that proves, that he does not understand exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Like, there's players, Steph, you'll know, like, there's players that in their, when they were younger, like, I think if you even look at Chris Shields, like, Chris Shields, when he was younger, when he first started, there was always a mistake in him. There was always, you know, he would lose the head very easy. There was a lot of sendings off. But then you look at him in the last few years with us, he matured. Not only did he mature in his head, but his football matured. Suddenly the ball was doing all the work for him. He wasn't he didn't have to throw his leg in for last ditch shot tackles anymore. Why? Because he was suddenly standing in the right place for an easy tackle. And he made the game look so smooth, so easy. That proves that as the player matures, he eventually gets better as a player. And you look at, like Gally just mentioned, you know, some of those players we just saw, Brian Gartland, Stephen O'Donnell, you know, Gary Rogers, these players we got at their absolute prime. It was later in their career, but absolute prime. And we got some of the best out of them. So what is he talking about? He also signed Peter Cherry, lad. So what age was he?
He's 37, is he? 36, 37.
So that's...
Bill's quotes on that show exactly. He's not saying this by mistake. He's not being... In his mind, he's not being stupid here, right?
That's the word.
What he's thinking is, if we sign someone who's 19 on a 4 year contract, if he's good, we get money back. If we sign someone that's 27 and he's good for 3 or 4 years, we get nothing back.
Yeah.
So it's purely financial. Like hit that plan that he's doing is financial. So he thinks then that we're going to be able to, on the back of 3 or 4 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds that we have under contract, that he can go and pluck 1 year contracts from people's recommendation or from fucking YouTube videos or something, that he'll pull players on that basis and put them in. And if they perform well, yeah, fair enough. We'll talk to them at the end of the season. Maybe we'll keep them on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that that's complete fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
Because we're not looking at it from the financial aspect of this. We're not looking at this from purely numbers, that if I give a contract to someone for 4 years and he's 27, I'm getting nothing back. All he'll do is play football and win games. I don't care about that. That's not the bottom line. Bottom line. I didn't mean that one. But that's purely how he looks at this. Now, smashing stuff this morning when I read this, because it started off like we have someone in an analytics guru
mm-hmm.
that's going to look
at working with Mike to show Mollies.
Yeah, the best way to sign players, and then instantly just says if you're over, what are we saying? 27 is what he's saying.
27.
If you're 27 or over, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how many goals you're going to contribute. It doesn't matter what XG you contribute to a game. None of that stuff matters. You're getting 1 year. And any 27-year-old in the League of Ireland that is anyway good is going to have, say, three decent options ahead of us if we even stay in the league. Like, I understand what he's saying. It's absolutely fucking infuriating for us on this end. The other stuff that he said about how we're the response, like we're responsible for these lads not playing well.
Yeah.
Like we're not making these boys feel
comfortable. It's all our negativity, apparently. Yeah. And the same boy was on about COVID earlier in the year. Like, you can't get up to a game.
Now, he's even, Jesus Christ, even if you think the reason that these players aren't playing well is because the crowd don't like them, don't do a fucking interview telling everybody that they're the reason. Mm-hmm. That just gets everybody angry.
But this is the disconnect we said the Peak Six have with the community. Now they're blaming us.
Yeah. And there's a story that comes to mind that I heard on Fantasy Football years and years and years ago. This is a random pull. Like, the Niall Quinn was a random pull. This is another random pull.
Yeah, this is the whiskey talk.
It's got a lot to live up to now if you're coming up to the Niall Quinn level.
So when Alan Ball was the manager of Man City.
We've got a Man City connection here.
He was, when he got sacked, he said, at a press conference, he said, like, you lot have gotten me to sack. It's like the local press have gotten me to sack. And then one of the journalists said, well, we had to print the results out. Like, we're not making stuff up. We are seeing these lads playing and we're like, they're making mistakes. They're not playing well. And I'm sick of this shit of, like, you're not allowed to say if someone has had a bad game because it's going to affect them.
Yeah.
We can't just all put our heads in the sand all the time and say, well, look, we're going to just not be negative tonight. We're going to be completely positive. Everything's fine. We'll forget the mistakes for the first goal. We'll forget the mistakes for the second goal. Everything's grand. We can't do that. And I was fucking furious reading the first one about the recruitment and even angrier reading the second one. So I'm like, I don't know where to go with this now.
Yeah, well, we liked your Alan Ball one, though. We thought you were going there.
It ties in well with Finney and the social media end of it as well.
Even when you're looking at it, like, even if you're saying these boys that come in the last few weeks, give them time to bed in, like, they're contracted till the end of the season. So they have a couple of months to bed in and then go to another team.
Under Kenny, didn't we see second season was always most of his new recruits' best season?
Yeah, because they sort of came in, they played bit parts, they found out what system, and everyone stuck to the game plan. Everyone stuck to the system. There was competition. There was nearly two players for every position. Mm-hmm. And there were two good players that were, like, hungry, played for the jersey, played for the manager. Everything that's not happening at the minute.
We were obviously going in the right direction then.
All the players that were signed, like we said earlier on, they were signed with a purpose. So there was an idea in mind. And the idea here at the minute, like Donald said, it's just financial. It's just building the Peak Six brand as much as they can. Yeah, they're in Denmark as well, and they're talking about the lads over, like the average attendance over. Nobody cares. We don't care about over there. That's not that's nothing to do with anything.
How do we unpack the other line, Donald, that you had there, that if a coach or a club has a great player who contributes to the culture and the success of a club, why would we let him go? Is that not Chris Shields? Is that not?
Yeah.
Cover your ears for a second, Sean Gannon. You know,
John Gannon.
That's these players that we had who understood Dundalk Football Club, who understood this town, who knew fans by name, who would hold their hands up if they've had a bad game, very rarely gave us a bad game, contributed massively to the success, and we've let all those players go. So where are we going with this then?
Yeah. And probably more annoying than that was probably the Dane Massey one. For me, Dane Massey's the one that really...
Dane Massey, another player.
Like Sean, there was always... Sean Gannon was always touted with Rovers. It was always that link. Anytime was contracting there. But Dane Massey, for me, was a real... Like, even with what Dane said in the paper, like what he... And fair play to him, luckily, thanked the fans and all that. But what he was saying, you kind of knew someone like Dane Massey, with all his experience, comes out with something like that. You knew that we were in for an awful time. You know, we didn't think the season was going to go like this, but we knew the ownership just wasn't right. There was something not right. And when you let a player like that go, you know, it's just... The writing was probably on the wall. Look, again, like you said earlier on, Chris, hindsight's great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just frightening. Frightening. And we've had a lot of players like that. Fats is going... I know Chris Shields wanted to move for family reasons. That's fine.
Yeah. Like, you can see Shields and Fats are moving for that. But the fact that we gave them this opportunity, like, we could have... We should have just put... I'm sure if we put an option to these two guys that was financially really sound for them to stay at this club, that was based on us being continuing the success, not a big drop, and we're scrambling to get back, and we're just throwing silly money. That's a silly way to operate. But if we had been building a good team around these guys, the same scenario comes up where they're running out of contract, and we say, actually, guys, if you look who we've just signed, they're the top guys in this league, we're still winning things, here's a bumper contract, give us two more years, will you? The boys would have said, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality of it. And Steph, like another line here was this: is everyone says that their guys just collecting paychecks. So then we made a decision that we're writing 1 year contracts with options. Yours are the guys who signed these guys who are suddenly collecting. So have you not done due diligence? I can't even say the word now. I should have been drinking whatever you're thinking.
Speaking
You know, we surely we've done the background check on these guys to see, like, I think that was another thing that we used to do very well was, have we got the right characters coming into this club? Have we got individuals who are hungry, who want to, like you just said, Steph, before, prove a point? They're not just coming to collect a paycheck. They're out to prove something. We think they've got a load of guys who have just here apparently to collect their paycheck. But they've signed these players. Now they're giving out, well, the way we done it didn't work, so we're only going to hand out 1 year contracts. But then why did you sign them?
Why were they so successful back then doing the opposite?
Yeah. I
also want to know where he's getting all this information from, where he's getting the idea that we've been really negative towards these players.
Yeah, because like, he doesn't have Facebook.
Right? I don't. Can you get social media up in Oriel? I don't know if you can.
Well, Chris took all the bandwidth with him.
I took the fibre with me, lads. I'm taking it all.
He has it in the house.
And we shouldn't forget when we're talking about like this new angle he has. Mike Tracy's gone back in, so he's obviously he's obviously back on that, and it's just it's so contradictory. It's frightening.
But Mike is stepping back in there in completely different times. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And Mike seemed to be a very smart guy. We've had him on here before, and he seemed to understand the club. And to be fair, he got the community aspect and things like that as well. But my good God, is he stepping back into a club in a completely different environment? You know, it's not an easy buy-in anymore than it was previous. It was kind of, hey, let's just keep it going as it was going previous when it was under the Fast Fix ownership. And he steadied that ship and he had it going very, very well. But this is madness. It makes no sense in any of the statements he said. He's completely gone back on everything. The fact he still thinks we can get third when we're sitting in a relegation playoff, and yet it's us being negative and giving out. We're being realist in all of this. That is the reality of it. We're being 100% real, saying we're in the shit. And if this team doesn't cop on that we're in the shit, we're going to be in fucking deeper shit. And that's in the first division. And that's the reality of this.
Yep.
he also buried the goalkeeper as well. Goalkeeper that looks like he is like woefully struggling for confidence.
Yeah.
The owner buried him in like saying that like we didn't beat Anderlecht because they had a better goalkeeper than us. So we've tried to get a better goalkeeper. Our goalkeeper's not good enough. Yeah. I mean, it is like the.
But it's us that's negative.
Lunatic. But anyway.
I don't know where we've got. We all just gone on a rant. Or Steph's bringing us on a walk around the kitchen. I'm enjoying this more so than anything. We're going to get these panels.
I see it was just on the Mike Tracy, I think it was a tweet. I don't know who it might have been. Jerry Malone earlier on, and he was saying he could be in charge of the recruitment.
Jerry.
Like, so that what does that make for Jim McGilton's job? What, you know, where does that leave that on?
What is Jim doing?
Exactly. That's.
Are we going to hear in due course what he's doing?
Still waiting for the official whiskey partner announcement. Because I'll be all over that. Like, when I will, if you are listening, Jim, I will drink that whiskey on this show if we announce an official whiskey partner. Actually, no, fuck it, I won't.
The old sellout hangs. The peak six capitalism, greedy capitalism, has finally got to you, pal. So look, lads, just to I suppose wrap up this rant from us all, Eamon Collins has just thrown in there the next four fixtures. So Hearts away in the cup on Friday, then Sligo again at home in the league, followed by Bows, and then Harps away. Easy. Any of them winnable, drawable?
No.
You really want to be playing Harps twice, and we already proved that we can't beat Sligo.
If we have 20-minute matches, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah.
Unfortunately, they need to be. I think they're all, like, legally, they have to be 90 minutes to count, right? I have to have 20 minutes.
First goal wins.
Yeah.
First goal wins.
I like it.
Yeah, look, I mean, you'd like to think they've learned something from tonight and maybe Sligo come to town, but it's highly unlikely.
You would have said that on the, you know, looking at that Longford game, saying, well, here's something for us to maybe get something to build on that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a reality check for, hopefully, for our owners and stuff who think that, you know, we can still finish third. We can't beat the team that's 10th. We have no right being even talking about third, if that's the case.
And like Finn Harps, I know everybody talked. Finn Harps is tough to go any time of the year, no matter where you are in the league.
Yeah.
And they're going up there now for a cup match on Friday night.
People are saying they can't even see us winning another game this year.
Not a chance. They'd be too tired with the drive up.
He's Alan's followed that up with another humdinger there. That's the one.
Imagine back to Caulfield again and his mind games. It's going to be, like, I don't know if I can handle that at the end of the season.
was that last comment before Hanksy's sarcastic one? I hope that the negativity and talk about something positive.
Yeah, well, I think he was challenging us to give 5 minutes of positivity, but I think I'll just gloss over that. Not a hope. Start of the season, maybe. At least we're not
bottom. There's a bit of positive.
That is it. The only bit of positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, at least there's a washer team than us in Longford.
Is there, though?
That beat us.
Well, on points they are. They're not actually a washer team at all. Yeah. Just how they went early on in the season is just what saved us in a minute.
They haven't really been beaten by every other team in the league.
Yeah. Jesus.
We have.
Well, on that note of optimism. cup match on Friday. Is there any way we're going through this now?
Of course, there's a way you can win a football match.
But is there any way we can?
We're at the stage now where we're taking. We're actually going to perform a cup shock on Friday night if we win. That's the stage right now.
Yeah, we're the underdog.
We're the underdog for this game. They're probably not in the betting, but like. Everybody looking at this league is going to think, well, Finn Harps will throw these over. And if we win, it's going to be a hell of a job. And that's what we're at now. That's like, it's crazy. Look, and I don't know what I think, actually. It has to finish that night, doesn't it? No replay till the semi.
God, don't put us through a replay.
Yeah, I imagine. I wouldn't hold up any mad confidence. Look, cup match. We're at the stage where anybody can win. Anything can happen on a cup night.
Here's optimism, no?
Yeah, a bit of luck. If they go out like they did tonight, actually, that's a lie. If they go out like they did tonight,
there we go. It's back.
Might be able to finish it off after 20 minutes if they can take their chances. But I mean, I don't.
This season has been
really epic. I wouldn't be calling for a win. No, I wouldn't.
Right. So that's a no from you. That was a long one. Donal.
it was so long winded. I started it.
Donal, I know you run the whiskey, so I'm saving your voice.
Oh, I think that's for every podcast. You should have saved me fucking months ago. Should have saved me the invite. Look, you're obviously more than likely going to lose, but...
Okay, so that's a no, Steph.
Yeah, hold on now, I'm not done. I still think...
Well, see, there's our problem, isn't it, as Dundalk fans. Thank Are you. We going to win? No, not a hope. But I still hold faith in this team, and you're like, oh, they just keep doing it.
The hope kills you. The hope kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sure, look, what else is there?
We're all going to
realism.
If they get in front and don't make any mistakes, can that happen?
So, Steph.
Yes.
I'm still going for a 1-0 Dundalk win.
A what? Steph.
I'm doing it.
We do have a chance. We do. But we need to tighten up at the back, honestly.
See, that's an oxymoron of a sentence.
Yeah. I don't think you should play the two boys, like you said.
No, I play the young
guys. I don't think you should play a team at the moment, but we have to.
I don't know who he's going to play. Maybe the young lad.
Hanratty.
Hanratty, yeah. Did he come from Bray? He's not a... Is he?
Yeah, I think Hanratty was originally a Bray. No, he's still on loan, isn't he?
All right. Well, look, I wouldn't play Nattestad again. I'd
let him be back.
Go back in centre half rather than fucking Sonny. And he can't take goals ever again, either. If we're gonna try and win games, get through rounds in the cup, I don't think either of them can play.
They would have Dank Theory back on Friday, wouldn't they?
He was suspended, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he should be back. So that's
That's Sonny out.
That's someone, yeah.
Sonny has to go. And can't play a BB either. Get him out as well.
Yeah, so we're still going through, Steph. You kind of said we're going through, but then you gave me loads of negatives of why we're not, so I'm confused. It's like Donald says, we're not going through, but then gave me a 1-0 win at the end. So what's going on tonight, lad?
I'm in a dilemma. I don't know.
You're nearly embarrassed to say we won't go through. That's what it is.
I'm not going to say it's 1-0 going off anyone's arse tonight, Steph. We're not going through. This is the end of the road.
We're waiting 8 minutes off the arse, all safe.
No, I've been holding off for that for the full season and it hasn't happened. So we're getting knocked out. That's it.
Yeah.
2-0. 2-0 Hearts.
When you've lost, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I'm done being optimistic with this team now.
Season over. Get the playoff on now.
Well, if you offered it to the players, would they take it now, I wonder?
Absolutely.
Or would you continue playing and getting beaten right the way on the lead up to it?
No, we said this last. If the playoff play tomorrow night, it's not been handled.
I think they might now at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you offer the players the playoff tomorrow, well, Friday, just say, but they had if they won the game, they get the wages for the rest of the year, along with a wee bonus, I guarantee you they win the match.
Minus expenses or?
No, we don't want to mention that.
Bonuses.
You don't want to mention the European bonuses.
No.
Getting dropped. Okay. Fair enough.
I think we dug it up holes tonight.
That might be a reason for the performances of the players either.
Yeah. So I've been waiting 2 minutes, Steph. Is this a yes or a no for Friday?
I have to see the lineups.
If you think we're going to rest players for this and bring in the substitutes?
Yeah.
If anybody's still listening, we're on again Friday night.
Steph, you're back, and I'll give you your final word tonight with your lovely presses behind you, and hope it's the price you paid for them and we can all get them.
Yes. No party. Good luck.
Good night.